Welcome back to No Flags, No Filter, your weekly dive into all things NFL. I'm your host, William Masucci.
I'm Brett Jennings.
And week six gave us everything we could have asked for. Clutch finishes, breakout stars, and a few teams whose seasons might just be slipping away. We're talking shocking upsets, MVP caliber performances, and the biggest storylines shaking up the league. Whether you're celebrating a win or questioning your team's entire existence, you're in the right place. So sit down and let's break down all the action from week six of the NFL season right here on No Flags, No Filter. All right, so to start off, we're going to be going game by game, reviewing everything that happened in week six. And so we're going to be starting with last week's Thursday night game. We had the Philadelphia Eagles traveling to the Giants.
Embarrassment.
And what, I mean, the Eagles have just, I don't think they're a very good team. I mean,
letting their season slip away.
You're sitting at 4-2. Now, you've lost two straight. They actually have a negative point differential. You just lost by 17 to the New York Giants. I mean, credit to the New York Giants. Jackson Dart is, he's playing really well so far. I think he's starting to get in that conversation for offensive rookie of the year, and then obviously Cam Scataboo, you know, going for 100 yards and three touchdowns. And Hurts just time and time again seems like he's really struggling to get the ball to his weapons downfield. And I mean, even Saquon's having a down year. I mean, Hurts once again struggled to get the ball to AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. I mean, their leading receiver was Dallas Goedert. He's just throwing a lot of checkdowns to Saquon. I mean, it's that Eagles team just looks like a mess. I mean, the only thing that really kept them even alive in that game was the tush push. I mean, they ran the tush push four plays in a row at the goal line. And, I mean, that's just not – it's not good football. So, I think it really is time to start panicking on the Eagles. I don't think that they're nowhere near the same team that they were last year. They don't look dominant. And I think we're starting to see a lot of really good teams emerge in that NFC, and I think it's going to be tough.
It's just embarrassing how they're playing football. They're not. I mean, the tush push is the lowest skill play you could. I mean, it's not a play everyone can run. But when you have a quarterback and an O-line like they do, it's pretty easy for them. But maybe Jalen Hurts is just a game manager. Maybe he had a really good OC. He had a really good OC a couple of years for the past couple of years, and now it's starting to be like he's showing his true colors. He's like a Brock Purdy. But it's not even like Brock Purdy, because Brock Purdy can at least get the weapon to get the ball to Brandon Ayuk and get the ball to Christian McCaffrey. Mac Jones can do it better than Jalen Hurts can right now. I don't know what's going on with them, but this is embarrassing, and this is frightening for Eagles fans.
100%. And now moving on to the first game of the Sunday slate, we had the Denver Broncos traveling to London to play the New York Jets in London. And, I mean, that game was just not pretty. Oh, it was not pretty at all.
Disgusting.
It was pretty disgusting to watch. I mean, you see, I think the Jets had
nine sacks.
Passing yards, it was like negative 10 net passing yards. I mean, Justin Fields had 45 pass yards. Probably, quite possibly one of the worst quarterback performances I've really ever seen. I mean, credit to the Broncos defense is really good. But, I mean, come on. I mean, I really thought that the Jets had a chance to potentially make a little bit of noise coming into this season, and they look awful. I mean, I really hope that this is finally a wake-up call for that organization, because changes just have to be made. And I mean, it just seems like season after season the Jets are disappointing and disappointing and disappointing. And I mean, when do you stop and just take a look within? I mean, that was just an awful game on all fronts from the New York Jets. I mean, the defense did step up. I mean, you got to give credit to them holding the Broncos to 13, but I mean, the Broncos aren't really a stellar offense. So, you know, I think obviously the Jets have dug themselves a pretty deep hole at 0-6. I mean, this season's pretty much a wash for them already. So, yeah, I mean, this definitely was not a very pretty game to start the day with on Sunday.
No, and it is Justin Fields' fault to an extent. But when you let your quarterback get sacked 9 times in a game, this is 14 sacks in the past 2 weeks for Justin Fields. Cowboys got him 5 times. Denver got him 9 times. I mean, what do you expect? You can't have success when you keep getting sacked. Every single drive that you get sacked, the odds dramatically shift down to getting even a field goal. Like, it hurts the team so much to get a sack on a drive. And you let up 9 in the whole game. You're not going to win NFL games like that. And you were so close to winning NFL games because your defense just shut down Denver's offense, whatever it is, not much. But, I mean, they didn't run the ball very well, and Denver's a pretty good running team most of the time. So the Jets' defense, I mean, Aaron Glenn's doing a good job there, but I don't know what's going on with with the offense and what their strategy has to be going into this offseason, because just don't even look at the rest of the season. Just, I mean, I guess you just go for the best offensive player on the board. You go, I mean, when it comes to draft, offseason, you need to make a lot of trades. It's going to be bad for Jets fans for a while.
100%. I mean, that was a mess of a game. And now moving on to the first game of the 1 o'clock slate on Sunday, we had the Seattle Seahawks traveling to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think right off the bat, credit where credit's due, the Seattle's D-line had Jacksonville's O-line just absolutely flustered. I mean, Leonard Williams had a sack, DeMarcus Lawrence, 2 sacks, Byron Murphy, 2 sacks, Nwosu, 1.5 sacks. I mean, they sacked Trevor Lawrence 7 times. And I mean, it's tough to win football games when you're getting sacked that much. And I mean, a lot of the sacks really were not Trevor Lawrence's fault. I mean, he was just, I mean, he didn't even have time to make his first read before he was just absolutely smothered. And I think Jacksonville's O-line just really, I was very unimpressed with them, very disappointed with them this game. And I think in spite of that, Trevor Lawrence still managed to play a pretty decent game and he really kept the Jaguars in this game for a while. He went 27-42 for 258, 2 touchdowns, no picks. And I was pretty impressed with that, with the amount of pressure that he was under. And Seattle also, they just completely shut down that Jacksonville run game. You know, ETN only going for 27 yards after he's had really a lot of monster games to start the year. And the other thing that I did like to see with Jacksonville was they really got the ball to Brian Thomas, which I think he had his best game of the season. Eight receptions, 90 yards and a touchdown, which was nice to see. And then on the other side of the ball, you have Seattle, JSN, looking like quite possibly the best receiver in football this year. It's pretty close with him and Puka. But, I mean, JSN's just on pace for a monster season, upwards of 1,900 yards. He had 8 receptions, 162 yards this game. It's gonna be scary in Seattle. I think this is a really good team that could pretty easily win that NFC West.
A lot of people talking about Jacksonville's big win over the Chiefs and how they all now starting suddenly to believe in Trevor Lawrence. I never started believing in him. I still don't think he's that great. I think in a couple of years he's gonna be a guy that like helps a young rookie transition, because he's not a guy that is a difference maker. I feel. I mean, 27-42, 2 touchdowns, a QBR of 46.3, and a rating of 97. Sam Darnold played lights out compared to that. Some of that's the defense. Some of that's Seattle just being a monster defense with Mike McDonald just scheming up a defense. But I also think that Jacksonville has not used Travis Hunter in the way he's supposed to be used, maybe. Maybe it's just that he hasn't developed at both positions enough. He spent 50% at receiver, 50% at corner. And even rookies that are like still developing, like Emeka Buka at receiver, have a lot more to go. And Travis Hunter's just like way behind the eight ball because he hasn't developed at either of those positions well enough. And 4 catches, 15 yards. I mean, that is not a top three pick. That is not like the best player in the draft stat line. So the Jacksonville has a lot to work on. They're still a contender in the AFC South, but I really think Indiana's going to run away with it. They're just a much better team.
Yeah, and I think that Jacksonville defense is really what's keeping them afloat right now. I mean, Liam Cohen, he's the play caller for the Buccaneers last year. I think he's got to get that offense going in the next few weeks, or I think it's going to be a struggle for Jacksonville to keep up with the Colts in that division. And speaking of the Colts, now moving on to the Cardinals playing at the Colts. The Colts, you know, they continue to look really good, but Arizona played this game really close. They did. And Daniel Jones, he played another pretty good game. He did throw one pick. But all in all, he played a really good game. And that Indiana O-line continues to just – they've looked like probably the best O-line in the league this year. I mean, they only allowed 1 sack this week. And they've just time and time again, they're giving Daniel Jones the time to make his reads, the time to throw. And I think that's just awesome to see. And on Indiana's offense, Jonathan Taylor is just – he's continuing to once again look like one of the premier backs in the league, which I think is really cool to see. And in terms of Indianapolis's receiving weapons, Tyler Warren is really starting to emerge as potentially even that first read in that offense. He's top three now in rookie receiving yards. And I think he's poised for a really great season, and I think he's going to be a great tight end. On Arizona's side of the ball, Jacoby Brissett stepped up with Kyler Murray out, and I think he played a really good game. He played a really good game. Besides that one pick, I was pretty impressed with him. I honestly think he did a better job of spreading the ball out than Kyler Murray does. And I think Kyler Murray has really just underwhelmed this year, in my opinion. I don't think he's been great. I mean, ever since that, I think it was the 2021 season and the 2020 season where he looked pretty good, he's just been like, it's been like 5 years of just
nothing.
Not looking painfully average. Like, even struggling to manage the game. And so I think after the season, it is going to be time to have a conversation about quarterback in Arizona. But we'll see where that goes. But, yeah, credit to the Colts. I mean, they've continued to look really good. Arizona did play this game close, but Indianapolis is – I think they're going to continue to look like a real threat in the AFC this year.
This is my favorite storyline of the season, or the Buccaneers. But, I mean, both teams are 5-1 right now. Both teams were pretty close to being 6-0 right now. But the Colts, I think they have a more complete team. Their defense is very good. It did not look very good this game. Two sacks across the board, both by Kwity Paye, so that's a great game for him. But it's not a stellar – I mean, your rookie tight end is your leading receiver this game. Good for Tyler Warren. I'm happy for him. But, I mean, we're not – I don't understand what he's not throwing Michael Pittman or Josh Downs the football. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're better playmakers in space than Tyler Warren is to some extent. But, I mean, he played a great game. Jonathan Taylor is going back to his 2022 self. Is that when he blew up?
Yeah, I think so.
He's doing it again. And then Cardinals, Jacoby Brissett, I mean, he played a better game than Kyler Murray would have. And there's no rushing. They can't really run the ball. And they don't have receivers. I mean, Trey McBride's really good. He's probably one of the best receiving tight ends in the league right now. But it just isn't – they don't have any weapons to help. I mean, mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison, 2 catches, 32 yards. That is embarrassing. You're supposed to be the wide receiver one in this team. I mean, mm-hmm. I know the Colts are really good. I know. But they drafted you to get open and make plays, and you're not making plays. And this is a little scary. I mean, it's year two. There's not a lot to panic, but we should have developed a little bit more by now.
100%. And now moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers traveling to Miami to play the Dolphins this past Sunday. I think the Chargers were lucky to escape with a win in this game. I mean, they have not been playing well ever since they've had all those offensive line injuries. I mean, Miami's just not a good team. Los Angeles' defense is definitely what really kept them in this game. You know, they picked off Tua 3 times. But LA's defense did really struggle to stop the run. You know, Devon Achane going for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Tua, I mean, he did not play a good game at all by any means. He did get the ball to Jalen Waddle, but aside from that, he did not play well at all. You know, throwing 3 picks, just did not play well. Justin Herbert, on the other hand, he played a pretty good game. Nothing to complain about there. He finally got the ball to Ladd McConkey, which was nice to see. He was their leading receiver for the first time this year, but Quentin Johnston didn't catch the ball once, which was interesting to see. Because now the past 2 games, Quentin Johnston has looked non-existent after having a really stellar start to the season, which I think is definitely disappointing. And yeah, credit to LA's defense for picking off 2 or 3 times. I think that's definitely what won them this game. And I think it's time to really worry about that Chargers team. I mean, until they get Joe Alt back, I think it's gonna be a struggle for them to stay afloat.
A little to add about that Quentin Johnston thing. He did not play this week, so that would be why he didn't catch a pass. Yeah, the Chargers won this game last minute. I watched this game. It was very interesting. Tua played like he was at Alabama, and then he played like he was at Alabama State. I don't know what they're going to do with their quarterback situation. They need to get a different quarterback. They thought Tua was the guy. For some reason, they did, and then he's not the guy at all, so... But it's much more than just Tua on this team. I mean, they need to rebuild the whole team. Right now, the AFC East is open for the Bills, and it's open for the Patriots right now, which I think are leading the AFC East. Chargers, I mean, they'll be a shifty team in the AFC West, but it'll come down to being the Broncos or the Chiefs, and I really hope it's not the Chiefs. I still think the Chiefs don't deserve to be in the playoffs. They're not that good of a team. We'll get to that game later, but this is a good win for the Chargers, but it's kind of embarrassing to let up 27 points to this Miami offense.
Definitely. And now moving on to the New England Patriots traveling to New Orleans to play the Saints. And right off the bat, Drake May he's looked really, really good this year. I mean, he's thriving in that Josh McDaniels offense in New England. And that 2024 quarterback class is just looking stellar. I mean, you look at Caleb Williams is really starting to find his footing the past couple weeks. He's playing great. Jaden Daniels continue to play great. Drake May is playing superb. Michael Penix is playing really well. Bo Nix is playing really well. And then, I mean, J.J. McCarthy, we haven't gotten to see him since week two, but, I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's not – we're not out on J.J. McCarthy yet, but, yeah, that draft class is just looking really, really good at quarterback. It's looking really strong. I think it could be one of the best ever, potentially. And New England, I mean, New England has looked really, really competitive the past couple weeks. I mean, the Saints – I'm going to give credit to the Saints. They're a bad team, but they've been a scrappy bad team. They really have stayed in games this year. I mean, Spencer Rattler is really exceeding my expectations.
Great game.
Olave, I mean, he played a great game. And the New Orleans defense has not been as bad as I was expecting. I mean, Chase Young has continued to look pretty good coming off the edge for them. But let me talk about New England's defense. I mean, you bring in Mike Vrabel. You bring in all these free agents, you know, Milton Williams, Robert Spillane, et cetera. Christian Gonzalez is playing some of the best football in the league, I think, right now at cornerback. And that defense just – they've looked really, really good. I mean, really good. And speak of that, they also brought in Harold Landry, who's just been a monster coming off the edge this year. And New England's defense is, I think, one of the premier in the league now. And combining that with how Drake May is playing on offense, I think this team really is going to be a threat in the AFC East. And I think it's gonna definitely come down to the Patriots and the Bills, of course, because the Jets and Dolphins are terrible. But I think the Patriots are really going to give the Bills a run for their money this year. So I've loved what I'm seeing in New England so far.
Not much to say about this game. This game is kind of Patriots heavy to start. And then the Saints kind of came back in the second quarter and made things interesting. And then the first half was really great for scoring. And the second half, everyone just stopped scoring and kicked field goals, which made it quite boring. It got more defensive after that. But I'm excited to see what the Saints do with the quarterback situation. Spencer Rattler is playing better football than I think a third of NFL quarterbacks. I think he's about that two-thirds half where he's playing very good football. It's better than Jalen Hurts is playing right now. I mean, he had a better game, no touchdowns, 20-26, 227, 102 rating. It's just New Orleans can't run the ball. I mean, They have no run offense. Alvin Kamara, 10 carries, 31 yards. I mean, he continues to lose snaps out to Kendre Miller and Taysom Hill's back now, so he's going to carry the ball a little bit. But he continues to lose the snaps out to Kendre Miller. And this is not a good team, but this is a team that is a trap game. It's like that Atlanta game versus the Panthers. I mean, this team could blow you out if you're not careful, but they shouldn't really blow you out.
100%. And now moving on to an AFC North battle, we had the Cleveland Browns traveling to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. And the Steelers are just really pulling away in that division right off the bat. I mean, I think the other three teams in the AFC North, they're combined 0-9 over the last 3 weeks. And the Steelers are just, they're sitting really comfortably at 4-1 now. I mean, we'll see how things go with the Ravens with Lamar coming back after the bye week. But I think it's safe to say that the Steelers are going to pull away with this division. And I want to talk about Pittsburgh's offense. I mean, the Arthur Smith offense is really, I think it's fitting Aaron Rodgers' play style really well so far this year. He's playing the best football he has since he left Green Bay. And I think that's been really encouraging to see, you know, for him at the age of 41. I was excited to see them finally get the ball to Darnell Washington this game. I mean, you have a 6'8", 280-pound tight end, and you don't throw him the ball. And they finally did that this game, and, I mean, it looked really good. And he also got the ball to DK Metcalf once again. And the Steelers' run game, it was probably the best game for the Steelers' run game thus far this year. They still got they got some work to do in the run game, but I got trust in Arthur Smith with that. He's kind of a run game genius, so I'm putting my trust in him with that. And the Steelers' defense has just continued to look really, really good this year. I think they're a top three defense in the league. Jalen Ramsey, he had 2 sacks. Let me say this. In a game that T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett played in, Jalen Ramsey led in sacks. I mean, he was tied with Nick Herbig, but he led in sacks. I think that was really cool to see. And then Cleveland, I mean, there's not much that they can really do. I mean, they're starting a fourth-round rookie quarterback. You know, Quinshon Judkins got absolutely stuffed at the line of scrimmage. Credit to the Pittsburgh D-line. And I mean, Gabriel isn't really playing bad, but he doesn't have anything around him to succeed. I mean, besides Quinshon Judkins, in my opinion. I don't think Jerry Jeudy's a very good player in particular. And the Browns' defense's game, I mean, they definitely – I think they struggled, and I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, Cleveland's in a pretty deep hole at this point at 1-5, and I think this season's definitely a wash for Cleveland. And on the other hand, Pittsburgh, they're starting to run away with that AFC North.
Yeah, this this game is a lot different than what the score tells you. The score tells you it was a two-possession game. This game did not feel like it was two possessions. It seemed like Pittsburgh was in control from the start, and they just were just managing the clock when it got to the fourth quarter and just chilling. Cleveland, you throw the ball 52 times, and you can't get a single touchdown. I mean, you're throwing for barely 200 yards. You run the ball a total 17 times for 65 yards, and it wasn't even pretty yards. Those were hard fought, and those were brutal. I would like to mention Dillon Gabriel trying to kill his receivers, throwing hospital ball after hospital ball. His teammates got so scared of him throwing the ball to, like, spaces that they just didn't even look for the ball sometimes because they didn't want to get absolutely ran through. It was embarrassing how he played. I mean, he's a rookie. He still has to develop. I'm sure a lot of people are going to talk about Shedeur Sanders and wanting Shedeur Sanders to play. I don't think Shedeur Sanders is the right play 100%. At all. I don't think he's the right play at all. It doesn't matter who you place in this Browns offense. They're not going to succeed.
100%. My take on Shedeur Sanders, I just don't think he's even close to an NFL-ready quarterback, and I think it's ridiculous that people are arguing for him to be the starter. There's a reason they took Dillon Gabriel before him, and I think any narrative about Shedeur should be the starter should be, I think, shut down. Personally, I don't think he's very good. And now moving on to the Dallas Cowboys traveling to the Carolina Panthers, and what has just been game after game this season, Dallas's defense has just been not good at all. I mean, you let Bryce Young look like a good NFL quarterback, and you let Rico Dowdle run for almost 200 yards on the ground. I mean, credit to Rico Dowdle. He's had an incredible two-game stretch the past couple weeks, but, I mean, come on, Dallas. Come on. I mean, you've had such a good offense this year. Dak is playing really good football. I want to talk about George Pickens. He has stepped up with CeeDee Lamb. Now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, why would Pittsburgh trade him away? That's such a stupid trade. I get if you don't like some of his mental stuff. I get if you think that he has a terrible attitude or something. But, I mean, come on. Why do you trade him away? And, I mean, Pittsburgh now, they're really looking for, like, that second option in that offense behind DK Metcalf. And, I mean, it would be nice to have a guy like Pickens right now, but you shipped him off for a second-round pick. And I think third-round pick, even worse. and I think that really could end up being the steal of the offseason. For Dallas, and I think Pickens has really kept this offense afloat with CeeDee Lamb out. He's been a very reliable option, but Dallas just is not going to be able to win very many games if their defense keeps playing this terrible. I mean, that secondary has just continued to look awful, and then this game, they couldn't stop the run. They just could not stop the run at all. I don't know what it was, but they could not stop the run at all, and I mean, maybe it's because they missed Michael Parsons. I don't know, and you know, they traded off Micah Parsons, and they brought in Kenny Clark from the Packers, who's, you know, one of the best supposed run-stopping defensive tackles in the league, and he hasn't made much of an impact for them. I mean, Dallas has got to – they've got to find some answers on defense. They got a bye week coming up. They've got to find some answers, or this season's going to be a wash for them.
George Pickens is a very good move in the offseason, and you also have the worst move in the offseason, so Dallas counteracted itself. I know what to say, and it's the same thing everyone's saying. Dallas will never win anything until Jerry Jones is gone. Until they have an actual GM who is competent and understands football in today's game and is not just a marketer and looking for more money, they won't win NFL games. The Packers, they have a great GM. They understand what it takes to win, and they went out and got the best edge rusher in the NFL for I don't know, a pack of donuts. Like, they didn't give up anything for him, really. Two first-round picks, that's big, but they're going to be maybe pick 30 or maybe pick 28. They're worthless, really. The Cowboys, they traded for the run stopper, not even close, 183 yards, 30 carries, 6 yards averaged. Didn't let up a touchdown, though. No rushing touchdowns, but 3 passing touchdowns for Bryce Young, making him look like he was playing against the Georgia secondary at Alabama in the SEC championship. It was embarrassing to watch. You lost the last second field goal. Offense, it had a decent day. I mean, Dak, passing-wise, Dak is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's balling out, three touchdowns passing. But running the ball, they got absolutely stuffed. 13 carries, 29 yards for Javonte Williams. That is sad. Jaden Blue didn't even get a yard on three carries. George Pickens, I mean, they could just try to pass the ball the whole time, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It'd probably work out better for them than
trying to run. It's working.
When they get CeeDee Lamb back this week, probably that'll make an impact on George Pickens' yards. But this O-line isn't that good either. I mean, they have four – I think – they had four backups starting last week. They only had one or two starting this week. But it is – this team is not a good team. Any NFL team, all they have to do is just – run the ball. I mean, they don't need to have a good running back. They don't need to have a good O-line. They just need to have they need to have an average O-line and an average running back, and they'll probably put up 150 rushing yards. I mean, I guess Dallas was just thinking this was going to be the easiest game that like they played. They'll be like the Jets again. Not even close. You saw what they did to the Falcons, embarrassed the Falcons, and then they embarrassed you in a different way. And this is very sad. You guys said you're ready to buckle up Rico Dowdle, and then he... The first thing he says after the game is, they wasn't buckled. You guys were not ready to play me. And it showed. It was embarrassing.
100%. And I mean, I think whoever the hell is calling the plays and calling the defense in Dallas, I mean.
Matt Eberflus. Ever heard of him? Bears head coach.
Get him out of there. Get him out of there. I mean, come on. And, you know, Matt Eberflus, he was a really good defensive coordinator for the Colts once upon a time. But, I mean, it doesn't seem like that's working anymore. So. Got to figure it out somehow. And now moving on to the Los Angeles Rams traveling to the Baltimore Ravens. This game obviously has an asterisk next to it. I mean, Lamar is still not there. And I want to talk about last season, the big argument for MVP, you know, it was a two-man race between Lamar and Allen. It was like Josh Allen should win it because he has the biggest impact on his team. The Bills would be nothing without Josh Allen. And people were like, Lamar has way more around him. The Ravens would still be good without Lamar. And what we're seeing this year is just the Ravens without Lamar – because, I mean, they had the rest of their guys back this game. They got, you know, Kyle Hamilton back. They still don't have Roquan Smith back. They'll get him back after the bye week. But the Ravens just look awful without Lamar. I think he carries this team. He really carries this team. I mean, there's such lackluster weapons around him, and he carries this team on his back. Rams, on the other hand, they're continuing to play really good football. I think it's really going to be between the Seahawks and the Rams for that division. I don't think the 49ers are a great football team, especially now, you know, you just lost Fred Warner for the season. So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see if the Ravens can maybe stay in this thing coming out of the bye week. They've really got to basically go undefeated or maybe just lose one or two games to rest of the season to make the playoffs. It's gonna be a long road to that, but I'm excited to see Baltimore get Lamar back because, I mean, it's been – sad to see a team this good, or supposedly this good, struggle this heavily without Lamar.
You're 1-5. There's a question of, does Lamar have a back injury for the rest of the season, stay out, get a good draft pick? This is just a reset year. I don't know. They probably won't do that. They'll probably try to win games again. But, I mean, a good draft pick here this should be a pretty good class for them to fill their needs. If they need an O-line, I mean, Caden Proctor is sitting right there ready for you to take him. That's my thought for Baltimore's future situation. Derrick Henry looked like they were back to last year, giving the football, ground and pound. Didn't really work out because the Rams decided they didn't want to lose this game at all, so they only got 3 points. Matt Stafford had a solid game. I mean, 181 yards, one touchdown. That's all. I mean, that's all right. It's what you need. Kyron Williams, I mean, a solid game. This was just a solid game. This wasn't a great game. I mean, there isn't a lot to say. This is kind of sloppy. I mean, a good win for the Rams keeps them positive on the stat sheet, keeps them going, keeps them to their playoff hopes. And we'll just check in on how Puka's doing because that'll be the big storyline for their season.
100%. And now moving on to a battle between two very bad teams. We had the Tennessee Titans traveling to Las Vegas to play the Raiders. And I mean, I think these are definitely, there are 2 degrees of bad teams. You got Titans bad, and then the Raiders are bad, but they're nowhere near as bad as the Titans. I mean, the Titans, I think it's a huge drop off between the Titans and the next team after that, they're just awful this year. They got their one win because of two of the most freakish plays I've probably seen this season. And Vegas, I mean, I'm not really giving any credit to them. It's the Titans. I mean, they still didn't look great. They didn't play great. Genty honestly didn't play great. And then the Titans, on the other hand, I don't think this is Cam Ward's fault. You know, I watched some Cam Ward film this week, and he's making some crazy throws this year. He really is. But it's just, I mean, they fired Brian Callahan after this game, which I think is huge. That needed to happen. But obviously, I think the season's a wash. I think you gotta get some weapons for Cam Ward in this offseason, and you've gotta find some answers on that defense. I think aside from, you know, Jeffrey Simmons and L'Jarius Sneed, I mean, what do you have on that defense? Because, you know, a rookie quarterback like Cam Ward, he needs a good defense. They can keep him in games. And he also needs weapons around him. And right now he is neither. So, I mean, he's not set up for success. You know, the past few years we've seen number one pick quarterbacks go into really shitty situations. And I think we're just seeing that again with Cam Ward.
Yeah, there's not even an attempt to try to build around Cam Ward. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL. He has one of the best arms in the NFL. I mean, accuracy on the run, it's incredible to see what he can do with the football. And it's embarrassing how they're playing football. I mean, I would love to see the Jets and the Titans play an NFL game for the number one overall pick. And whoever wins that game gets number one overall pick. Because the game could end 3-0. Both these offenses aren't that good. This defense is not much better. The Raiders, you could tell, were holding Geno Smith back from throwing the football down the field because they did not want him to throw another four-pick game and lose the game to the Titans again. Genty played a solid game. I mean, it's a good game. He carried the team on his back, for you could say, because Geno Smith was not a superb quarterback. I mean, they need to figure out their quarterback situation. A lot of teams do. Geno Smith is not the QB, should probably not be the QB next year. I mean, he's just old. He's not looking good. It's not looking like Seattle. You need to get a new quarterback after this year. It is rough.
100%. It's definitely rough in Tennessee and in Vegas, honestly. And so now moving on to the Cincinnati Bengals traveling to Green Bay to play the Packers. This game was honestly closer than I thought. Joe Flacco, I think, gave the Bengals some life at quarterback. And to touch on that, I want to Mike Tomlin had some words to say about Joe Flacco being traded to the Bengals midseason. Tomlin said it was shocking to him. And he said Andrew Berry, who is the GM of the Browns, he said, "Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us, because it doesn't make sense to me to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's just my personal feelings." And I think he's absolutely right. I mean, you see Joe Flacco in his first game as a Bengal, all of a sudden Ja'Marr Chase catches 10 passes for 94 yards. T. Higgins catches 5 passes for 62 yards. And I think he's giving them a spark at that quarterback position that they obviously did not have prior. And Green Bay, on the other hand, they've continued to look like a really good team. They're really gonna compete in that NFC North. I think all four teams have looked honestly pretty good in that division. But I really do think it's going to come down to the Packers and the Lions. So we'll see where that goes. Josh Jacobs has continued to look really good on the ground this year. Matthew Golden had his best game of his rookie year. 3 receptions for 86 yards. That was definitely nice to see. And then I wouldn't say either defense played a great game. I was decently impressed with Green Bay's defense, but Micah Parsons just has continued to not really – he's been kind of just like – he's like stalemating every rep. He hasn't been making a great impact yet. I mean, maybe that's just he's still learning the system. I don't know. I mean, he's still obviously a great player, but yeah. No surprise that the Packers won this game, but I think the Bengals have some life to them now.
Yeah, this game was good by Joe Flacco. I was kind of concerned seeing a 40-year-old quarterback get traded and be the starter right away. He kind of proved me wrong. I'm happy to see that he played well. This showed that Jake Browning is not an elite quarterback, and that he's missing something that makes, like, Joe Flacco can do that Jake Browning can't. And maybe that's just Joe Flacco being a veteran, knowing the timing of routes, knowing throwing. But this is kind of an embarrassing game for the Green Bay Packers, thinking about it. You let up one of the worst offenses last week, put up 18 points in you, and this is a different quarterback, of course, but you had time to scheme for him. And the defense didn't do a lot. They got one sack on this Bengals O-line.
Mm-hmm. That's, with Joe Flacco back there, too.
That's ridiculous. You get one sack up, one of the worst O-lines in the NFL, and a quarterback who probably can only stand in the pocket, can't even run around. Green Bay has got to figure it out because they're not going to win the NFC. We thought they were going to be one of the best teams in the NFL this year, and mm-hmm. they're disappointing. I mean, this is proving us completely wrong.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And now moving on to San Francisco 49ers traveling to Tampa Bay to play the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers have continued to look like a really, really good team this year. I mean, Baker Mayfield is playing the best football of his career. I think he needs to be in that MVP conversation. I think he really has a shot at it this year. I still don't think he'll win it just because of voter bias, but that's whatever. I mean, Baker doesn't have – Ibuka for this game goes down really early. He doesn't have Mike Evans. He doesn't have Chris Godwin. His leading receivers are Cameron Johnston and Sterling Shepard. And it does, I don't think it matters who's out there catching passes. Baker's going to get them the ball, and he's going to do a good job of it. And, I mean, they also don't have Bucky Irving this game. I mean, the Buccaneers are absolutely – they're just destroyed by injuries on offense right now, but it just didn't seem to matter for Baker. I mean, credit to him. He single-handedly won them this game. And then San Francisco, on the other hand, Mac Jones did throw two picks, but I think he's continued to do a nice job in the absence of Brock Purdy. Christian McCaffrey – he kind of got shut down in the run, but he did some great things in the pass game. Kendrick Bourne had a great game. He caught 5 passes for 142 yards. That was nice to see. But the 49ers have just been riddled by injuries this year. I mean, and now you have the best off-ball linebacker in the league, Fred Warner, go down with a season-ending ankle injury. And it's injury after injury after injury for the San Francisco team. And, I mean, they've got another tough game coming up Sunday night. They're playing the Falcons, so we'll see where that goes. But I think – with the amount of injuries San Francisco has, it's going to be hard to sustain the record that they have right now.
I think you're going to see the San Francisco team start to fall apart with these injuries just piling up. I wouldn't be surprised to see them be the last place in the NFC West by the end of the season. It's just going to be so hard for them to win games with mm-hmm. two quarterbacks that are, I mean, the same basically. Brock Purdy's a little bit more mobile, but Mac Jones can run it too a little bit. I mean, this team has basically two of the same quarterbacks. No receive weapons besides Kendrick Bourne, who is playing very good football. I mean, wide receiver one on this team for sure right now. They can't run the ball very well. I mean, not officially. but you know who can run the ball is Baker Mayfield when it's clutch time. Third down run.
Mm-hmm.
Runs his body through people, reaches out for that first down and gets it. I mean, incredible play by him.
He's got grit.
Yeah, he does. He has got to be leading MVP for me right now. I mean, he's playing lights out football. They're in my head. They're 6-0 right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing the best football. I mean, their defense had 6 sacks. That's great. A couple picks for Jamel Dean, or one pick for Jamel Dean. I mean, and this team is just overall them and the Colts. I'm telling you, them and the Colts are playing the best overall football right now.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And now moving on to Sunday Night Football, we had the Detroit Lions traveling to Kansas City. The Lions offense kind of got shut down by the Spagnuolo defense in Kansas City. And then Kansas City on offense, Patrick Mahomes has been playing some great football the past few weeks. I mean, great football. And I really think inevitably, especially the Chiefs have Rashee Rice coming back this week from the suspension. I think inevitably I'm really expecting that the Chiefs win the AFC West again. Unfortunately, as much as it hurts my heart to say that, because I think they have the combination now, especially with Rashee Rice coming back, of a great offense and a great defense. And I mean, it's the Chiefs at the end of the day. You have Patrick Mahomes, who I'd argue is still the best quarterback in the league. So I don't think it's time to panic with Kansas City at all. I mean, they've looked really good the past 3 weeks, aside from that loss to the Jags, which, I mean, I'm still giving credit to the Jags. I think they're a pretty good football team. But Detroit's offense just didn't really play well against the Spagnuolo defense, and credit to him, just giving up a great game plan.
I mean, the Chiefs must have played some very clean football, 0 penalties. Lions had 4 penalties for 38 yards. There's always something in my head saying that the Chiefs are just getting some better calls than every team is. And I think a lot of people agree with that. I'm not saying that not a lot of the teams do that. I mean, the Eagles did it every time they do a touch push. That should be an offsides call on their own O-line because they're just lined up in the neutral zone the whole time. This is a good enough game for the Chiefs. One sack on Jared Goff. That's good by the O-line. I mean, I'm expecting that from the O-line. This is a dominant Detroit O-line. They did shut down the run pretty effectively. They had some big runs break, but contained it the best they could. Jameson Williams played a great game. He led the team in receiving. Amon-Ra kind of took a step back in that role, but most of it was just Jameson Williams being so fast, so explosive. I mean, another kind of Tyreek Hill kind of player. Just gambling issues. Patrick Mahomes, he's a very good quarterback. He's top five. I he's making some incredible plays, and you can't take that away from him, but I just think there's better quarterbacks than Patrick Mahomes. I think the first half of the season started to show that when he doesn't have the guys around him that he needs, he can't make plays, and guys like Baker Mayfield can. I'm not saying Baker is a better overall quarterback than Patrick Mahomes, but I'm saying that when it gets to some points, I might take Baker over Patrick Mahomes this season right now for sure.
All right, now moving on to the first of two Monday night games. We had the Buffalo Bills traveling to Atlanta, playing the Falcons and getting just absolutely dominated on both sides of the ball. Right off the bat, this game was not as close as the score made it seem. In my mind, Atlanta won by a lot more than 10 points. Michael Penix, for the second straight week, just continued to play really good football, mistake-free football. He had maybe one bad throw that game. And then obviously you got to talk about it, Bijan Robinson. He's been, in my mind, and I don't think you can even argue, the best player in all of football this year. I mean, going for 19 carries for 170 yards. He has an 81-yard rushing touchdown, and then he's on pace to be a 1,200-yard receiver as well. He had 6 receptions for 68 yards again this game. I'm pretty sure I saw he's on pace for 1,700 rushing yards and 1,200 receiving yards. I mean, those are video game numbers. And even with the Falcons, they were dealing with some injuries this game. You didn't have Darnell Mooney. You didn't have Ray-Ray McCloud. You didn't have your starting right tackle. You didn't have your starting left tackle for half the game. They played really well. And I also want to give credit to the Falcons defense. I mean, I think the Falcons defense, they were ranked number one in total yards coming into this game. But I think this is the game that proved to me that this defense is legit. They shut down Josh Allen. And I know that Josh Allen was down a couple guys on offense, you know, down Dalton Kincaid. Joshua Palmer goes out with an injury early in the second half. But they really, I saw that this was Josh Allen's lowest QBR in a game since 2019, jeez, which was his second year in the league. And that Falcons defense has just continued to look really, really, really good. You know, they sacked Josh Allen 4 times, which was the most times he's been sacked in a game since 2023, week one. Atlanta's defense is legit. Jeff Ulbrich, he's done a phenomenal job of, I mean, it's looking like the best defense in the league, in my opinion. And now you're coupling that with an offense that has looked explosive the past couple weeks. And I think the Falcons are going to be a scary team in this league. I also do want to point out right now, the Falcons are ranked number 2 in the league in total offense and number 1 in the league in total defense. They're also top 10 in sacks. The Falcons, I think, are going to be a real threat in the NFC. And I think that I don't think it's over in the NFC South. You know, the Falcons, besides that fluky loss to the Carolina Panthers, they're one of their losses to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by 3 points in a game that would have gone to overtime if Koo hits a 35-yard field goal. So I think it's getting scary in Atlanta, and I think the Falcons are really going to be a threat in the NFC this year if they keep playing this type of football.
That's the key part, if they keep playing this kind of football, because they have been known to fall apart and go 8-9.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they can keep it up, which they should be able to, just hand the ball off to Bijan, throw the ball to Bijan. I mean, it can't be that hard to just get the guy the ball. For Buffalo, there's a lot to talk about. Make it kind of short and sweet. Is injuries and just expecting a different Atlanta team. You guys expected to play. You expected to play the Panthers, Atlanta team. You expect to dominate them, win by 40, and you can't do that with the Falcons because they're a team that like will surprise you and put up a game like this. But they're also a team that'll surprise you and put up a game like 0 points and 30-0. So it's two different teams when you play the Falcons. I mean, you can get two different teams. One team is one of the best in the NFL, and one team is very, very interesting.
100%. And I do want to point out, after that loss to the Panthers, the Falcons moved their offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, down to the field so that he felt like he needed to connect with Michael Penix more on the sideline, talk to him after plays. And since then, I mean,
it worked.
They put up 34 points on the Commanders. Penix played a great game, and now you dominate the Buffalo Bills, and Penix played another great game. I think that's really working. If it can continue to work like this, Atlanta's going to be a really good team. And now moving on to the last game of the Week 6 slate, in the second game of Monday Night Football, we had the Chicago Bears traveling to the Washington Commanders. Both quarterbacks played really good games this game. Specifically Caleb Williams, I want to talk about that. He's looked really good the past couple weeks. I mean, I think he's finally starting to settle into that Ben Johnson offense, which is good to see. But I got to say, definitely player of the game for the Bears was DeAndre Swift. I mean, both in the run game and the pass game, you know, going for 108 on the ground, 67 through the air, touchdown. He looked absolutely great. What won the Bears this game was that late Washington Commanders fumble. Jeez. I mean, you're up 3 minutes left and you fumble in Bears territory. It's awful to see. I think the Commanders did play the better game. I think the Bears got a little bit lucky with that. But obviously, this was still a great game. It was a very close game throughout. And I think the Commanders, you know, they're sitting at 3-3 now in an NFC that's looking pretty deep this year. I think they're going to struggle to compete for a playoff spot. I mean, it seems like you got some great teams this year that are going to be competing for wild card spots. I mean, you got to worry about either Green Bay or Detroit. You got to worry about potentially the Vikings. I don't know. You got to worry about the Falcons potentially. I think the NFC is looking pretty deep this year, and I think Washington's going to struggle to keep up in that playoff race.
Yeah, they might struggle to keep up in the NFC NFC East. I mean, all three teams that are in contention. I mean, I'd say actually all four teams are in contention for the NFC East now. I think it's kind of wide mm-hmm. open. The Giants can come back and take it all because they're playing football like they did against the Eagles. They will win the NFC East, but it's wide open for any team that wants it. Really, none of the teams wanted it this week. Yeah, the most Bears thing that could happen to them is Jake Moody missing that field goal. And I was 50% sure that he was going to miss that field goal just because he was a third round pick and he's been one of the worst kickers in the NFL.
He was terrible in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely awful. He put up a good stat line, 4 or 5 field goals, 1 extra point. He did miss 1 field goal, but he didn't miss the crucial one. You can say a lot about this game. Jaden Daniels played pretty good. He had that late touchdown on Zach Ertz. And then I think Cliff Kingsbury is a great offensive coordinator. He really set up this game very well. It's third quarter, I'm pretty sure. Luke McCaffrey, touchdown. They set up what looks like a tunnel screen at Deebo Samuel. Left tackle's pulling out there, looking like he's going to block for a screen. Everyone's looking like they're a screen pass for Deebo Samuel. Luke McCaffrey, he's stalking, boom, sprints out there. No one's within 15 yards of him, and it's a touchdown. Mm-hmm. It's an easy walk-in touchdown for him. Cliff Kingsbury is setting up his team very well for success. Dan Quinn, being the head coach and being the defensive coordinator, he doesn't have a lot of weapons. I mean,
100%.
He had Von Miller be one of the guys off the edge. Yeah, I mean, he's not even close to the same Von Miller as Buffalo or even Denver. And this defense is old. This defense can be very good, but there'll be a question about can they play well, because this is kind of alarming. They have the Cowboys next, the number one offense in the NFL. Can they shut them down? And if they can, they're going to win the game, because we all know that Commanders will have an issue scoring.
In a matchup that I want to talk about, the Commanders that I've seen kind of the past couple weeks now against the Falcons and now the Bears, they're matching up, you know, 40-year-old Bobby Wagner with the running back. And he's still a solid Mike linebacker, but he doesn't have the speed anymore to keep up. I mean, you see both Bijan Robinson and DeAndre Swift now the past couple weeks just dusting him, leaving him in the dust.
He's not a coverage guy.
Yeah, I think that they've got to find potentially some answers at linebacker. I mean, Bobby Wagner, he's still playing some good football, but he's struggling to, you know, cover that running back. But now moving on, we're going to do some quick awards. We're going to do Team of the Week, Offensive Player of the Week, and Defensive Player of the Week real quickly. All right, so I think my Team of the Week right off the bat is going to be the Atlanta Falcons. You know, I think that was the most complete game I've seen Atlanta play this year. You know, both the offense and the defense played incredible games. The offense went for 450 yards, and the defense allowed under 300 yards to the Buffalo Bills. And now my offensive player of the week, I'm going to give it to Bijan Robinson, without a doubt. I think he's played like he's playing the best football in the NFL right now. I think he's the best player in the NFL. I don't think that you can argue that he's not right now. He went for 238 yards from scrimmage, which was just incredible to see. And now my defensive player of the week.
Let me guess. James Pierce Jr.
Nope. My defensive player of the week is going to be Jalen Ramsey of the Steelers. He played great in coverage. At the end of the day, it is the Browns. They don't really have any receivers. But he played great in coverage. He had two sacks coming off the edge on some DB blitzes. So that was good to see. And, yeah, Jalen Ramsey is my defensive player of the week.
My team of the week is the Pittsburgh Steelers. The game looks really bad in box score, but they played much better than they did. That defense shut down. I mean, absolutely shut down Cleveland. And Cleveland isn't a good offense at all, but Cleveland's still a good enough team where that's kind of embarrassing for them. Offensive player of the week, it's got to be Rico Dowdle. As much as I'm not happy about it, he destroyed Dallas, and it wasn't even close. 183 yards rushing.
It's Bijan.
But who had more total yards?
Bijan.
Oh. Who had, I think. I don't know.
It was close.
I think it was pretty close. You can give it to either one, really, without argument. Defensive player of the week, Nick Herbig. For the edge for the Steelers, I mean, multiple sacks, multiple pressures. He just collapsed the pocket every time, made Dylan Gabriel force the ball out and make some bad decisions.
100%. And with that, that'll do it for our Week 6 recap of the NFL season. This is No Flags, No Filter. I'm your host, Wim Masucci.
I'm Brett Jenks.
And we will be back next week for a Week 7 recap, so stay tuned. Thank you.